Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 15, Socialist Thought, Ram Manohar Lohia and Jayaprakash Narayan. And we are going to discuss socialist thought of Dr. Ram Manohar Lohia. Ram Manohar Lohia articulated his approach in what he called seven revolutions, such as equality between men and women, struggle against political, economic, and spiritual inequality based on skin color, removal of inequality between backward and high caste based on tradition, and special opportunity for the backward, measures against foreign enslavement in different forms, economic equality, planned production, and removal of capitalism against unjust encroachment on private life, non-proliferation of weapons, and reliance on satyagraha were the basic elements of his thought. In his book on Marx, Gandhi and Socialism, Lohia made an analysis of principles of democratic socialism as an appropriate philosophy for the successful operation of constructivist programs. He said, conservatism and communalism have a strange identity of interest against socialism. Conservatism holds socialism as its democratic rival and does not fear communism except as a threat of successful insurrection. Communalism prefers the continuance of a conservative government and is mortally afraid of a socialist party coming to office, for its chances of an insurrection are then deemed. Lohia made a significant contribution in the field of socialist thought in India. He always laid greater emphasis on the combination of Gandhian ideas with the socialist thought. He was a proponent of the cyclical theory of history. He believed that through the principles of democratic socialism, the economy of a developing country could be improved. Although Dr. Lohia was a supporter of dialectical materialism, he put greater emphasis on consciousness. He was of the opinion that through an internal oscillation between class and caste, historical dynamism of a country could be ensured. According to Dr. Lohia, the classes represent the social mobilization process and the caste are symbols of conservative forces. All human history, he said, has always been an internal movement between caste and classes. Caste loosen into classes and classes crystallize into caste. He was an exponent of decentralized socialism. According to him, small machines, cooperative labor, and village government operate and democratic forces against capitalist forces. He considered orthodox and organized socialism a dead doctrine and a dying organization. Lohia was very popular for his four-pillar state concept. He considered village, mandal or district, province and central government as the four pillars of the state. He was in favor of villages having police and welfare function. He propounded his theory of new socialism at Hyderabad in 1959. This theory had six basic elements. They were equalitarian standards in the areas of income and expenditure, growing economic independence, world parliament system based on adult franchise, democratic freedoms inclusive of right to private life, Gandhian technique of individual and collective civil disobedience, and dignity and rights of common men. In his Panchmari conference address in 1952, he said, "The tensions and emptiness of modern life seem difficult to overcome, whether under capitalism or communism, as the hunger for rising standards is their mother and common to both. Capitalists expected their ideal kingdom to arise out of each man's self-interest, operating under a perfect competition. Communists still expect their ideal's kingdom to arrive out of social ownership over means of production." Their common fallacy was now shown up that the general aims of society do not inevitably flow out of certain economic aims. An integrated relationship between the two sets of aims has to be set up by the intelligence of man. Lohia advocated socialism in the form of new civilization, which in the words of Marx could be referred to as socialist humanism. He gave a new direction and dimension to the socialist movement in India. He said that India's ideology is to be understood in the context of its culture, traditions, and history. For the success of democratic socialist movement in India, it is necessary to put primary emphasis on the removal of caste system through systemic reform process. Referring to the caste system, he said, "All those who think that with the removal of poverty through a modern economy, these segregations will automatically disappear, make a big mistake." He often highlighted the irrelevance of capitalism for the economic reconstruction and development of the third world countries. Lohia was opposed to doctrinaire approach to social, political, economic, and ideological issues. He wanted the state power to be controlled, guided, and framed by people's power, and believed in the ideology of democratic socialism and non-violent methodology as instruments of governance. Lohia was deeply influenced by Leon Trotsky's theory of permanent revolution. He preached and practiced the concept of permanent civil disobedience as a peaceful rebellion against injustice. To him, the essence of social revolution can be achieved through a combination of jail, spade, and vote. His theory of immediacy was very popular among the youth. He wanted that organization and action must continue as parallel currents, and strongly pleaded for constructivist militancy and militant construction. Lohia was convinced that no individual thought could be used as the sole frame of reference for the ideology of any movement. Although he was in favor of Marx's theory of dialectical materialism, he was aware of its limitations. He emphasized both the economic factors and human will as important elements of development of history. He was convinced that logic of events and logic of will would govern the path of history. He was not convinced by the Marxist thesis that the revolutions were to occur in the industrially developed society. He said that communism borrowed from capitalism its conventional production techniques. It only sought to change relationship among the forces of production. Such a process was unsuitable for the conditions prevailing in India. He pleaded for small unit technology and decentralized economy. For him, the theory of determinism was not a solution for the tradition-bound Indian society, where class distinctions and caste stratifications rule the day. The Marxist theory of class struggle is not an answer for the complex social structures of India. Lohia was convinced that the concept of welfare statism was not an answer for the social and economic progress of countries in the Third World. The Marxist concept of class struggle had no place for the peasant because he was an owner of property and an exactor of high prices for their food. Dr. Lohia always emphasized on the role of peasants in the economic, political, and social developments of the country. According to him, undoubtedly, the farmer in India, as elsewhere, has a greater role to play than whom none is greater, but others may have equal roles to play. The talk of subsidiary alliances between the farmers and workers and artisans and city poor must be replaced by the concept of equal relationship in the revolution. He gave a call for the civil disobedience movement against all forms of injustice and for the creation of a new world order. Lohia was of the view that the universal male domination and obnoxious caste system, as the two basic weaknesses of India's social structure, and pleaded for their elimination at all levels. He said, all politics in the country, Congress, communist, or socialist, has one big area of national agreement, whether by design or through custom, and that is to keep down and disenfranchise the Shudras and the women, who constitute over 3/4 of our entire population. He appealed to the youth to be at the forefront of the social deconstruction process to eliminate these social evils. He said, I am convinced that the two segregations of caste and women are primarily responsible for this decline of the separate. These segregations have enough power to kill all capacity for adventure and joy. Poverty and these social segregations are interlinked and thrive on each other's warm. He asserted, all war on poverty is a sharp, unless it is at the same time a conscious and sustained war on these two segregations. Religion and politics, said Lohia, are deeply interlinked and have the same origin. Although the jurisdictions of religion and politics are separate, a wrong combination of both corrupts both. He was of the view that both religion and politics could be judicially administered to develop the infrastructures of the political systems. He said, religion is long-term politics and politics is short-term religion. Religion should work for doing well and praising goodness. Politics should work for fighting the evil and condemning it. When the religion, instead of doing something good, confines itself to praising the goodness only, it becomes lifeless. And when politics, instead of fighting evil, only condemns it, it becomes quarrelsome. But it is a fact that imprudent mixture of religion and politics corrupts both of them. No particular religion should associate itself with any particular politics. It creates communal fanaticism. The main purpose of the modern ideology of keeping religion separate from politics is to ensure that communal fanaticism does not originate. There is also one more idea, that power of awarding punishment in politics and religious order should be placed separately. Otherwise, it could give impetus to conservatism and corruption. Despite keeping all the above precautions in view, it is all the more necessary that religion and politics should be complementary to each other, but they should not encroach upon each other's jurisdiction. As a social thinker and activist, Lohia has carved out for himself a unique place in the history of Indian socialist thought and movement. Although there has been a tendency among the contemporary researchers not to recognize him as an academic system builder in the tradition of Kant, Hegel, or Comte, his democratic socialist approach to look at ideology as an integrated phenomena is now being widely accepted throughout the world. Now we want to wind up this lecture, and thank you so much for your attention.